Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible and understanding prophecy. This is number 6, and how credible is the Bible? And we've seen many prophecies that have been fulfilled, Old Testament and New Testament. So you write in for the booklet. We'll send it to you. How credible is the Bible? You need to understand that. You need to understand what's coming down upon this world. And you need to realize that it has all been prophesied hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and some of it 3,000 plus years ago. Now, how credible is the Bible? Because the Word of God can never be broken. It's given by the God of truth, who inspired the Bible to be written in a way so it could be understood by those who love and obey Him. Now, the world will never understand it because they don't love and obey God. They profess the name of Jesus. They take the name of God. They do things in the name of God. Let's ask a question. Since 97% or 92%, whatever the figure is, it kind of goes up and down, believe there is a God. But how many believe God? Do you? What is the difference? If you believe God, you will do what He says. And if you do what He says, you're obeying Him. And if you obey Him, you will be blessed. Now we've come to the point, let's answer the question, what is the abomination of desolation, as we have seen in Matthew 24, also in Mark 13, has never taken place. And Jesus said that this generation will not come to an end until everything has been done. Now, this generation is the last generation, because you can't have 50% of the things fulfilled and take place, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, 95%. Jesus said all these things. So let's look at the prophecy concerning the world and how it's going to come about and what the abomination of desolation will be. Now let's come to Revelation 12. And verse 9, this tells us the condition of the world today and why there is so much deception and so many lies and so many things going on, and where will this build up to and where will it go and what's going to happen? Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. Now, this is a present tense participle, meaning it's ongoing continuously through every generation until we get to the time when Satan is removed. How thorough will his deception be? It says the whole world. Now, let's ask a question. We saw that he wanted to be like the Most High. We saw that he was cast down and a third of the angels fell with him, and he became Satan the devil and the angels became demons. And we have seen how Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because the serpent said, eat it, it's good. You'll like it, it'll make you wise like God. And that was an outright lie. And it's been that way all the way down to today. Wouldn't you say there are a lot of lies in the world? Wouldn't you say there's a lot of Satanism and demonism in the world? Everywhere.
Yo vi cómo la gente le pedía a ese Dios mezquino y la vida de las personas nunca cambia. Y me preguntaba cómo le van a pedir a un Dios que no tiene compasión por el dolor ajeno, un Dios que no escucha. Empecé a adorar a Lucifer y empecé a experimentar muchos cambios en mi vida. Hay muchísima gente reconocida, personajes públicos, que vienen a ese sitio. Yo les da todavía algo de prejuicio, que de pronto cuando salgan haya un reportero, un periodista por ahí, les suben fotografías y no quieren escándalos. Entonces, por eso cuando llegan acá, se colocan un antifaz. O sea, realizar matrimonios luciferinos, unión de parejas. Aquí bienvenidos, los que se quieran casar acá en el templo luciferino, lo pueden hacer. Tenemos un proyecto muy ambicioso, queremos abrirlo en México, en Perú y en Estados Unidos, donde podremos llevar el mensaje luciferino a todos los rincones del mundo.
It's incredible. Well, let's see what it's going to come to. Because Revelation 13 prophesies. And remember, prophecy is going to happen because it's not given by the opinion of man, but by the inspired Spirit of God to write it. That there is coming a satanic system that is called the beast. And verse 1, Revelation 13, and I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, the sea is depicted in Revelation 17 as people and languages and nations, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, this is a sign of Satan, the devil's system. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, what is that, the name of blasphemy? That is blaspheming everything about God and worshiping Satan, the devil, as God. And these are the parts of the leaders of this whole world system, because this is a world system that is coming. It's likened unto a beast. And that's why we have the beast of Daniel, because they were foretold nearly 3,000 years ago that these things would happen. And so the book of Revelation brings the finishing touches and the key that unlocks the understanding of those prophecies in the book of Daniel. Verse 2, and the beast that I saw was like a leopard, from book of Daniel, and his feet like the feet of a bear, from the book of Daniel, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, from the book of Daniel. And the dragon, who is the dragon, that ancient dragon, Satan the devil, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. Now, a little sidebar. When Jesus was tempted by Satan the devil, one of the temptations was, I'll give you all the nations of the world, because it's all been delivered to me. That's what Satan told Jesus. Now, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. So who is the god of this world? Satan the devil. Who controls this world? Well, God has let Satan the devil do it. Now, another little sidebar to think about. Ask yourself this question. How much have I been deceived? Another question, how many lies do I believe? And if you're religious, number 3, whom do you worship? Let's read it. And I saw one of his heads as it were slain to death, and his deadly wound was healed, came back to life. Now, this is a dual fulfillment. Number 1, a beast can be a kingdom, And number two, the beast can also be the individual who heads the kingdom. So here, there's an attempted assassination on him. But his deadly wound was healed. Now notice, verse 3, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now think about this. Go back to what we read in Matthew 24 concerning the preaching of the gospel in all the world, and it was to go to all nations, right? So at the same time, the warning message is going out and the gospel is being preached, Satan is developing his system. And people are deceived and brought into it. And they worship the dragon. Let's stop and ask right here. Do you consider yourself a Christian? Are you really a Christian indeed or just in profession? Are there counterfeit Christians? Yes. Are there counterfeit ministers? Yes. We saw that already, didn't we? Yes. So here it is. They worship the dragon. Do you worship Satan? Oh, no. Of course not. How do you know? Do you keep Sunday? Yes. I'm a good Sunday-keeping Christian. Really? You know what that's a sign of? Now, you're probably not going to believe this. That's a sign that you are deceived. Because God never changed the Sabbath, seventh day, to the first day of the week. That is a satanic lie. So, question, do you worship the true Christ? Or a false Christ? And how do you know? Well, Jesus gave the answer when he was tempted by Satan the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you do that? How is your Christianity? How do you know? You have to prove it. You can't just assume it. That's why you have to know how credible is the Bible. Yes, indeed. How credible is it? You're going to find the Bible is absolutely, unequivocally true and credible, but it's hard to understand unless you obey God and keep His commandments. Do you do that? All right, if not, then let's read what's going to happen. And the whole world's going to fall for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Okay? And they worship the dragon who gave him his authority, a coming world government with a master ruler who seems to be completely phenomenal. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? To worship him means they worship him as God. Now, isn't that what all the pagan societies of the past have done? Yes, indeed. Saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? Now let's see how sweeping that his power is. And then we'll find out what he does and connect that to the temple that is going to be built in Jerusalem. Because what we are reading here is about the man who will be the abomination that makes desolate when the temple is built. Verse 5, and a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacles and those who dwell in heaven. The whole power of Satan the devil is going to reside behind and supporting this great leader that's coming on the world. And let's see what the world is going to look at him as. They're going to worship him. And he was given power to make war against the saints. So the true saints of God will be persecuted and killed exactly as the prophecies show. And to overcome them, and notice this, he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ear, let him hear. Isn't that something? Do you have ears to hear? Okay. Now, along with that, there's another beast that comes along. Looks like Christ, but speaks like a dragon. The message of Satan. And he does great wonders and even calls fire down from heaven. And he causes everyone on earth, that's the rest of chapter 13 here, to make an idol or an image unto the beast. And a great huge idol or image is made of the beast, because he will be declared as God. Now we will see that. And the whole world will worship him. Now let's come to 2 Thessalonians. Now let's see why did John write that parenthetical statement in Matthew 24, the one who reads, let him understand. Because he saw the vision of the temple, he was told to measure it. And then the two witnesses, and after 3.5 year ministry, they are killed and then resurrected, which starts the first resurrection and the return of Christ. Now then, 2 Thessalonians was the second epistle that Paul wrote. And you will see that here they were expecting the return of Jesus Christ at any time. And we will also see being fulfilled in this another sub-prophecy that there would be those coming in Jesus' name and deceiving them. So let's read it, because this tells us who he is. Describes him, doesn't give his name, what he will do, where he will go, and how then the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place that's in the temple that is soon to be built. Verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that is, going to take place with the resurrection. That you not be quickly shaken in mind, nor troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Now you think about the deception with this. By spirit, by word, by epistle, as if from us. Talk about counterfeits, right? Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 3. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. And the apostasy is the whole world turning away from the true God, any form of the true God, and worshiping the beast. Didn't it say they worship him? Yes, indeed. Doesn't it say that he's going to be given power and authority by Satan the devil? Yes, indeed. Doesn't it say that he's going to rule over the whole world? Yes, indeed. But you see, now there's this nasty little problem down in Jerusalem, which is the Jews have built a temple. And the world is accepting this man as God. So what does he do? His actions, as we will see, constitute the abomination that makes desolate. Let's read it. and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The only other one called that was Judas Iscariot, right? The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God. So this tells us the temple must be rebuilt. And this was given in 53 AD. So this is why John put that parenthetical statement there, because the temple was destroyed and there was no fulfilling of this scripture before it was destroyed. So that had to be for a future time. And he didn't understand about it, but he was given the prophecy of Revelation 11. So therefore he put in Matthew 24 and also in Mark 13, the one who reads, let him understand. Because he saw this prophecy, and he knew that this was inspired of God, and he knew that it was true, but he also knew that it hadn't happened with the destruction of the first temple, and so therefore, it was for a future fulfillment. Verse 4 now, he comes into the temple of God and sits down, as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. That is the abomination that makes desolate. The man of sin, the son of perdition, possessed of Satan the devil, going into the temple of God saying, I am God. And isn't that exactly what Satan has always wanted? Yes, indeed. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you understand what is holding him back for him to be revealed in his own set time. So that's why John wrote that parenthetical statement, because he knew there was a set time for it to be revealed, but it wasn't revealed, and it wasn't the time, and it didn't happen at the first destruction of the temple in 70 AD. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. The mystery of lawlessness. What do we read in Matthew 24? Lawlessness will be multiplied. What is the mystery of lawlessness? The mystery of lawlessness is that this man is God, and that all the things that he has done is from God. Mystery of lawlessness is already working, only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. Where did the beast come from? Out of the midst of the sea, right? Yes. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now then, that will be fulfilled when Christ returns. And John understood that Christ hadn't returned, and there's no sign that he's coming, and there's no temple. But here's the inspired prophecy of the Apostle Paul saying exactly what's going to happen. Now notice verse 9. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, did they not worship Satan? Did not Satan give the beast his power and authority, everything like that? Yes. Whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Is the world set for that? Yes, indeed, it's being prepared. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It will look so good. It will start out and sound so wonderful, so miraculous, so fantastic. The people are going to say, this has got to be God. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and those who are perishing. Now, are you on your way to perishing? Now, perishing doesn't mean just dying. That means you're not going to exist, period. Where are you headed? What are you doing? How does a person get into that condition? Obviously, by worshiping Satan. But something else that they do in order to worship him, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is the truth? God, Jesus Christ, his word, his prophecies, everything that's in the Bible is the truth of God. Do you love the truth? Do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? If not, then you better get our booklet on repentance and baptism, and you better get your life straightened around. You have choices to make. Because if you don't, see, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie that that man is God in the flesh. Now, why would he do that? Verse 12, so that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you need these three booklets that we have, all three of them. You need How Credible is the Bible? You need God, No God? You need Geology, Catastrophism, and the Scriptures? And so that you know what you need to do to get right with God, we have another book which you need desperately, which is, Lord, what should I do in the light of all of these things that we have been covering? What should you do? How should you live your life? How can you change? How can you get right with God? Not right in your own eyes, not right in the eyes of the Christianity of this world, but in God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures. So we're living in awesome and fantastic times. God has given us the understanding of these Scriptures today because now is the time to do it, not because we have anything greater than any other person. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.